Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I love being live. It's a shame we can't do it more, but you know, lives and things like that. And we have to, Downey has to stay late. But you know,
he's working hard, Dave. They're doing 12 hours of rock and goal at some point over this weekend. How much rock and how much goal can one radio station take? That's what I want to know.
The lightning seeds are going to get a good airing, aren't they?
Some run for the lightning seeds all the way through. Oh, look at you.
Brody can go out tonight.
And trust me, he will. On the list of songs that we're not going to play in front of me is You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette, which breaks my heart. That's not going to get to play it.
I can sing it if you want.
I don't know what version it could be. We have got everything that you need. We're going to talk about Hoffenheim. We're going to talk about the draw. We're going to go right the way through the performances, the approaches. We're going to talk about the fact that the window is about to slam shut, and is it indeed slamming shut on Liverpool, or are Liverpool pleased to see that sort of thing happen? And then we're going to talk about Liverpool versus Arsenal. We're all going to also going to look back to the 5-1 in that Arsenal are still psychologically scarred by it. That's all to come across the next hour. But first, let's talk about Hoffenheim. Let's talk about the chaos. Adam Melia, Gareth Roberts. Let's talk about that goal. What a Liverpool goal that is, Adam.
It just keeps getting better as well. I think it's been bubbling up for a few days, and I you know, there's been different angles, a different angle every day. I'm looking forward to tomorrow's angle of that goal.
A camera on the ball.
Yeah, that would be good. A drone. but yeah, it was unbelievable. Like having been there, sort of in the cop, in the middle of the cop, sort of behind it. It was one of them where you go, what a goal! But you know, it's as the days have gone on. And so it was only today that I retweeted it. I was like, actually, this is goal of the season.
It's
two goal of the seasons in a row for Emre Can.
Well, it almost feels like it's out the way, which is a problem.
Yeah, box that off.
Yeah, I don't like just getting it out the way early because now you top it. Gareth is filming us at the minute. Are we on Facebook Live, Gareth?
Instagram Live.
Instagram Live. Hello to the Instagram. So I'll go to John first. John, what is the... what a goal. It is. It's ridiculous. You can get carried away because it's one bit of a football match. But we were talking earlier on today and you said that you don't like it when football matches are defined by incidents. And that's often in a negative sense, a referee indecision or something like that. I think that's the moment where Hoffenheim, not least because it is the goal that makes it 3-0, but Hoffenheim, no, we can't beat these.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a fantastic goal as for all the reasons that Adam said. And I love the behind the goal angle of the angles because you can just see how much that they're backing each other and themselves. And I was having a chat on Twitter just about the goal today because it's all I ever want to talk about ever again. And, you know, people were saying, you know, look at the distance that Emre Can covers when that first ball gets played, and he just goes, and there's not
Firmino, yeah, bust the gut, they run fast, and then both of them slow down, and it's the slow down, I think, isn't it?
They're backing themselves, they're backing the teammates to go. This is an opportunity, and it's the kind of thing that you've seen them working on in the training ground, which is great. But you know, someone pointed out to me, you know, if Liverpool lose the ball, then Emre Can's completely out of position and everyone's having a go at him, going, oh, why is Henderson so isolated? But he's not thinking about, well, what if Firmino lose it or what if Mane lose it? He's thinking, I'm going to get a goal here, I'm going to get a chance. And that's boss that they've got that attitude.
You're not thinking that Henderson's isolated. Henderson's on the edge of the box.
Well.
No, but that's my point. Yeah. That's what you're saying. And that's the thing, Gareth, is that sometimes I think we want to have our cake and eat it a little bit. We want to say, well, why, if let's just imagine Emre Can hits the post, it drops to a Hoffenheim player, they turn around, and suddenly there's a counter-attack on. All of our players are firstly ahead of the ball, secondly they're shattered because they've all busted a gut, and we are all going, why does everyone get to run at our back four? But one of the reasons why at times lads get to run at our back four is because we're prepared to try and do that goal.
Yeah, Klopp wants them to do that as well. Yes. I mean, he said in the press conference, you know, you looked at that and we had like six people in the box or something like that, and that's what he wants. And he was actually saying there was too many times against Palace where we didn't have that, so he was actually having to go at them for not gambling enough against Palace. And there was one, I think it was against, yeah, it was against Hoffenheim, where it was where one of their goals, it led to one of their goals, where actually all of the bench stood up and had a go at, I think it might have been Moreno, because he didn't get his ball out quick enough and accurately enough. And like John said before, that's what they're working on in training. That's how they're working to break sides down. Yeah. Quick attacks, quick counter attacks. And that was the perfect example of it. And some people are actually going as far, by the way, as to say that that goal is the best Liverpool have scored. And holding it up there.
Sensible old heads as
yeah,
well.
Mike Nevin Mike is Nevin. Saying it. I've seen him saying it. And he's holding it right up there with, you know, the one in the Terry McDermott against Spurs.
Yeah.
All I would say about that is have a look at, again, a highways ball. It's amazing. It's first time and it's with an absolute stone of a ball. And it's right on Terry McDermott's head.
What I love about the another thing I love about the I can't say what I love about it because there's obviously a million reasons why I love the. But it's two no look passes as well, isn't it? So the ball Genie plays, he's it's first time. He just knows that that's the pass to play. And then Mane isn't going. Oh, I wonder if Firmino's coming up the left. He just kind of knows he's there and times it perfectly. And that just shows kind of how well drilled they are and how you know the understanding between them all is growing really and. Yeah, long may continue.
It's the Firmino ball that's actually my favourite bit. We've all got different favourite bits, which is cool. I love is that he's run as hard as he can for 70 yards, and then the slowing down. But also, it's the fact that the ball he plays is so slow.
Mm.
It's like it should be easily defended, and yet it's absolutely indefensible. The ball is absolutely like, no one can like do anything about it. Imagine watching that go past you,
like a cricket delivery. It's, you know, almost foxes them all because it is just lofted through.
Areas,
great areas.
Firmino is like the complete opposite to someone who's not very good at footy, and I know that's obvious. but what I mean by that is
£5 a month. No, I'm living in Kenya, Friday night Liverpool.
Can I finish my point?
Come on.
So when you're not very good at football and the ball comes to you, the first thing you want to do is just boom it and not be at fault. And he's so confident in himself that every time he gets that ball, he's just taking in the whole pitch. And he knows if someone legs it at him, he can just skin them like that easily. And that confidence is getting him where he's getting and doing what he's doing and taking Liverpool where Liverpool are going.
Do you talk about that all the time, Gareth? It is the idea of there's an 8, that don't take 6 and 7 out of 10 chances, create 8, 9 out of 10 chances. Pepland has been talking about it since Klopp's come in pretty consistently. Mm. And it is a strange thing because they're clearly told to play at that pace. Play fast. But then there is a moment when they're then told to do the absolute opposite. That's when you've got to have your awareness about you. And I do completely understand your point. Your point is that he's constantly thinking. He's running 70 yards and he's thinking. And when John says he doesn't look up, you actually see he does look up, but he looks up before he's got the ball.
Yeah.
He knows exactly where Emre Can is before he's even got the ball.
Well, people keep trying to, like, you know, pigeonhole for me, you know, don't they, and saying, what is he? And I'm not sure what he is. And trying to look for comparisons here and there. And one I haven't here, but has started to creep into me head a little bit. So I think he's got a little bit of Beardsley about him. I think he's got a little bit of Beardsley about him in terms of that vision,
making everyone else play better as well.
Exactly, great point.
Did we score a goal a bit like that in pre-season as well? I was just thinking, was it one of the Bayern Munich ones, or maybe it was disallowed with exactly the same sort of backheel pass to Moreno, who then crossed it over?
No, there was the Ryan Kemp one.
Ryan Kemp was disallowed.
Where he pulled it back to Grujic on the edge. It was a pull back onto the edge. But he stands his defender up, whereas Firmino hasn't even got to worry about a defender.
There was the sort of backheel ball. Well, he's been doing that.
He's been doing that. Well, I think there's one in there as well, but I think he's been. The number of times, the first goal in the game comes from the back heel. I think again, talking about the tactics of it, the overlap.
Mm.
The overlap is, you're overlapping Mane, and Mane, because he can go either way, what that means is that there's so much space created by virtue of the fact that the defender knows he can go either way. He can skim me for pace, he can skim me with a trick, he can play a ball, he can cross it in, or he can shoot. And so what that means is that if you have to double up on Mane and then someone overlaps, then it's just on.
Our left looked frightening for them. The rest of us didn't think that Moreno was maybe the pick, but it made all sorts of sense as soon as the match started because that pace. There was so much overlap happening.
The way the match started, Gareth, They gave it everything in one sense, but in another sense, they went toe to toe with us, and I think it's almost what worries me about the season on the whole is the idea that sides may just simply try not to go toe to toe with us ever, and that it's a shame. And this is back to when sometimes you can go to Anfield, and even if you get a win, you can feel as though you're just relieved to have won. You don't feel like you've seen a great contest. You don't feel as though you've seen a proper game of football, and that, you know, even last season, United at home, United were in a certain place at that point, and they did what was right for them.
No ambition.
But that's what was right for them. Whereas we were left, but we didn't feel like you saw a proper contest. You want to see toe-to-toe football. And my worry is almost, when we do that sort of stuff, what it means is sides are even less likely to come and attack us.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's always been the way in football, hasn't it? That there's no rule about your style or about how you achieve the result. It's just achieving the result. And, you know, Jürgen bemoaned that sort of last season where he said, you know, in this country, it seems that the fans just take results, where he was like, in other countries, in other continents even, you know, they want to be entertained. They want to see a certain brand of football. Whereas, you know, West Brom, I've got fans who go and watch Pulis football. And you know, and when he comes to Anfield with West Brom, he'll do what he always does. And, you know, even Palace, I thought that was interesting. There was lots of talk going back to that game about the bird and three at the back and new style of football and high up the pitch. Nah, they just come and did what you've seen years over years and years and years. So that's the thing, yeah. I mean, Hoffenheim, I thought, were actually maybe a bit naive across the two legs, including how they spoke, the manager, the players, saying Anfield doesn't matter and all that sort of thing. But also in terms of how open they were and how high they were, and, you know, that allowed us to destroy them.
It's the idea of wanting to test yourself. I wonder on this one, John, you know, the idea that maybe their manager feels as though, well, they've got to test themselves up at this level and they've seen where the shortcomings are. Or is he thinking about obviously winning the game of football? I mean, obviously it is both. The answer is both. But there does seem to be sort of culturally more of an idea of sport as a little bit more of a test, of the football match as a little bit more of a test on the continent. Whereas because of the money, because of the focus, because the way English football has always gone, Gareth is right to say that, and Klopp is right to say that, you know, that there's more of a results focus in terms of what we tend to face week in, week out.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't like to make kind of sweeping conclusions based on how little I know about German football, to be honest with you. There might be a West Brom knocking around there, and I just, I'm not watching it enough. I think it does happen in this country as well. I think, look, the Southampton manager got to a League Cup final last year and lost his job, and that was mainly because he didn't score enough goals at home. And so there was that going on. So, you know, so a few people were saying, well, you know, what more do you want him to do? He's got to a League Cup final. They play really well in it. You know, they've come where Southampton normally come, but he basically lost his job on a style of football thing. And so it does kind of happen. And there's little clubs like, it's a little clubs, that's terribly patronising, but there's clubs like Swansea who I think have decided, yeah, that they've got a style of football that they, and I think that was as much the issue with Bob Boulder as it was the results. And so it does kind of happen, really. But I think they just wanted to play. They wanted to play, and they didn't want to kind of, you know, die trying, really, and so that's what they've gone for. I've made Dave laugh somehow.
I don't know, he's having a nice time though.
Is it Bob Boulder?
Bob Bradley.
Bob Boulder?
Bob Boulder's the keeper. He used to play for Liverpool.
He was deputy keeper.
I knew I'd done something wrong, but I didn't know what it was. Bob Boppingham back.
He used to play in there.
Bob Boulder played the attractive football.
Bob Boulder couldn't reach his toes, could he? Like in the Masters tour. It's like, just keep it low. Bob can't get down.
Better than that Bob Boulder.
I like that. I like that he's become rhyming slang as well. You know, get on me, Bobs.
We'll stop there. We'll do more after the break. This is the Anfield Rap live on Radio City Talk. Going to talk about some performances, Manny Firmino, Henderson after the break. And we're going to talk about the draw. See you in a bit. It is the Anfield Rap. Neil Atkinson, John Gibbons, Gareth Roberts, Adam Ealy, live from the top of the tower, Liverpool. Whatever you're doing tonight, have a fantastic, fantastic time. Traffic on the Strand. We have got...
How's your tunnels looking?
Oh, one of them's not great.
Don't give me stars on Switch Island.
And you don't even want to know.
Dunnings Bridge Road.
All the greats. We've got to talk about some of the performances the other night. I want to talk about Firmino first. Adam, it's... it's remarkable football at times from him. My favourite bit, other than the third goal, is the strange turn and spin away that he manages to do in the second half when it's just sort of lumped into him. There's three around him, and he manages to turn 180, shimmy his body, and he's gone.
He was getting wellied as well. He was getting some, and so was Mane. I thought the referee was weak. Actually, I thought that Hoffenheim did sort of kick lumps out of us at first half. That was one of the things they were trying to do. One of the things they were trying to do that failed, as all of the things they tried to do did. But yeah, it was, and I think he responded well to that in the way that Torres used to do. Remember the Reading away in the League Cup, where he didn't get any protection from the referee and got booted everywhere, and then scored a hat trick. But yeah, so I like the fact that he's got a bit of the street fighter about him, but his skills are just unbelievable. It's when he drops deep and just popping things off. He sees things so fast, and you know, he knows where he's got 360 view of the pitch wherever he is with his back to goal. I like the celebration too.
Oh yeah, I like the celebration.
It's a Ronaldinho copy, you know.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. It's a cover version of a Ronaldinho celebration.
I like that sort of thing. Yeah. I didn't know we were doing that, but I'm glad we are. The celebration comes from the goal, the fourth goal, the strange fourth goal, in that Jordan Henderson, Gareth, who's theoretically the Liverpool's deep line midfielder, I mentioned it before, on the edge of the area for the third. He's the furthest man forward for the fourth, wins the ball, wins it well in a manner that if he hadn't won it, he'd have got loads of grief from the crowd for not sliding in, because he stays on his feet and he breaks. Yeah. And it's worth it. He does that tackle all the time, perhaps a bit too much, but it's because he's trying to come away with the ball. But then he puts Firmino in. Henderson all game was strange in that
he did something brilliantly well, and at times you were a bit like, what's Jordan doing here?
Yeah, it's been a bit like that all season for him, really, hasn't it? I mean, I still wonder how much, you know, the injury might still be playing a bit of a part with it. I wonder whether he's, you know, he's moving as freely as he wants to, because he's always been someone that, you know, you've never worried about his fitness and about his, you know, getting round for 90 minutes. And lately, you know, I mean, Klopp actually said, you know, about taking him off early and bringing Milner on and being glad to do so, you know, a week or so ago. And so that says to me he's not quite in the place physically he should be. But, you know, they haven't really got that much choice at the moment in his position in the middle. There's not too much Klopp can do with the side. When we're talking about who's going to play, you know, in the next match, pretty much the conversation's always done. That, you know, he hasn't got that many options because Lallana and Coutinho aren't there. So, yeah, I still worry about that. And actually, that chance you reference where he goes through, you know, there are still, if we're all being honest, there are still people in the ground and still people who support Liverpool full stop who aren't convinced by him, both as a captain and as a player. And I like him, not just because we interviewed him, but in general. I like his energy. I think we're a better side when he's in it. And I was really worried when he played that pass because I just thought it's not going to reach him. Just for a moment, you know, and he was watching on the cop and I thought, if that doesn't reach him, everyone is going to have a go at him here. But it did reach him and it did go in and we were all sound. But sometimes I still worry about that side of his game as well. I still think, you know, he should weigh in with one every now and again. Like even
well, Neil's got him getting 4 or 5 this season, so I was worried about that. You know, I was like, don't make Neil look stupid, mate. You know what I mean? He's got you getting 4 to 5 this
Talk
season.
Talk it in, mate.
Quite yeah, you've got to take your chances.
I have got him getting 4 to 5. He should get 4 to 5. He should get 4. I mean, you know, I think, you know.
He won't if he keeps laying them off.
He won't, no. But, you know, I've got Firmino getting 20 as well, so it's one of them, innit? I can't have it both ways.
Feed the pieces of people.
Yeah, I can't have it both ways. There's only a finite number of goals that are possible. But I do actually think that if you start regular football matches for Liverpool, you should be getting 3 or 4 wherever you are on the pitch. I mean, this goes back to an old point about the fact that our centre-halves don't score enough. And also recently, the delivery's been a lot better, John. But it was a game where that was... There was 3 or 4 performances that, as I say, that stood out before or stood out as being worthy of talked about. Adam says that Mane got kicked all over the place, but again, he responded that he looks like he's having a ball at the minute playing footy for Liverpool.
Yeah, really enjoying himself. Obviously, really confident. Feels like he can take on any kind of fullback at the moment or any defender, and just confidence in his teammates and himself. And as you say, just really enjoying his football at the moment, where he gets a kick and he gets a bit of grief from the away section, and the main stand, to be fair, react really well in the way that Robbo says they don't do enough when our lads are getting hammered, and then he's giving it the arms and it's all a bit wrestling.
It was a great moment. The whole ground ended up, didn't it, and it all went up a few decibels, and it was like, it was good because it was like showing your support for Mane but also like giving something back to the Germans in the away end as well, ticking all the boxes.
Was anyone else surprised that he stayed on? I thought he looked tired towards the end, Manny.
I was surprised he stayed on. But I do wonder if this is in the same way that I used to always say with Rodgers and Suarez. I'd say, you know, get him off last 10.
We said the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, sometimes when Suarez got hooked last, the one time it happened after he scored 4 against Norwich, he basically went off and kicked off on everybody in the process.
I was wondering if it's that, to be honest.
Me and Ben had the same thing. Because the thing with Suarez, after a while, you realise that he never gets injured, so it doesn't really matter that much. But, Manny has had an injury, so. But yeah, I think there might definitely be something of that.
There's a spirit about him, isn't he? I mean, I wrote something on him this week, and I had a proper think about him and how he plays and what he's bringing to Liverpool. And it's not just his pace and his strength and his ability and the fact that he can score. It's his will, it's his determination, it's his desire. I mean, even that, you know, I keep mentioning Palace and I'll stop doing it soon, but that goal he scores against Palace, loads of people wouldn't have gambled for that. Loads of people wouldn't have been there, but he is. And he just keeps plugging away. And maybe it is one of them where he just thinks, Klopp just goes, I can't be bothered with him kicking off if I take him off. Because he'll just be like, why have you took me off? I was flying there, I'm doing all right, what are you doing? Yeah. And plus, it's still early season, isn't it? They can't be that.
I think, you know, they look at, you know, about recovery times and things like that, and you'll know who we can push a little bit further than others. And I think some of the subs have been a bit, you know, pre-decided this season. I think there's been a couple where, you know, I think there was the Henderson one where he goes on 60 and
Storage
it looked like
on 60.
He was always going to, and I think a few of those have been like that, and whereas obviously the others is, you know, where Chen gets a knock and has to come off. But I think he probably feels that, and he might have an eye on this international break, and no, I've got no idea what Manny's up to, but his international break's a little bit lighter than kind of some of the others, so he's thinking, well, he can have his rest then.
Other one just to mention briefly, as we're going right the way through, other thing to mention in general, Adam, is that, you know, it doesn't help the general, and it's a strange thing, I've said it all the way through, if we go to half-nine, win 1-0,
very little happens. They come to Anfield, we win 2-0, very little happens, and it's 3-0, we win by three clear goals. Everyone says, what a professional, what a fantastic European performance. We've gone through 6-3 on aggregate, and one of the things that people do remember and do focus on is that, partially because of the way we play, partially because of the individuals, I do think it is both, but there are pretty appalling and more annoying knockoffs than anything else that mar a good performance.
Yeah, I know, and it's one of them where you wonder how much of it, because of how many men we commit forward, as we said earlier, is an inevitable result of that. Yeah, I know, it was despite the fact that we kept scoring at regular intervals, they were carving us open at times during that first half. They were, you know, they were coming right towards me in the cop, and it was the joke that we were doing was every time they scored, they only scored twice, but how many did they need now? Still only two, like, because it felt like they were only ever one or two goals away from it becoming, you know, a more difficult night. Even though looking at that now, that's ridiculous, but at the time there is something about that where it is end to end in a two-legged European tie, it wasn't ideal for the nerves, and I would have liked probably to firm it up a bit with some more conservative substitutes, I think, towards the end.
I can't quite work out. I think it was more out of control than the manager wanted, Gareth. I think that's partially because of their approach, and also that maybe it's just as players on the pitch realised we can go for the jugular here, and that they maybe even went for it possibly a little bit more than he would have wanted, and maybe at times when he wouldn't have wanted it. But this is not the European football of Paisley or Fagan or of Julio or Benitez. This is a very good, I think it's going to stay like this. It's a very different type of European football.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the first leg as well, you know, you get your nose in front of way, and you just think, you know, you're schooled almost, aren't you, through watching Liverpool over so many years. You'd expect them to shut up shop, to take it, bring the result back to Anfield and all that, and it just stayed ridiculously open over there as well. Same when it comes back to Anfield. And I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say how much the manager wants it that way and how much it's personnel. It's back to that question again. But I mean, I can't see that Klopp wants it to be full on Keegan's Newcastle. And equally, it's never going to be Benitez's Liverpool. I think we have got to sort of get used to it, haven't we, a little bit? I mean, I think even if there are more signings before the window closes and that sort of thing, I don't think we're going to see a huge change in style. It's always going to be blow teams away, go at them, get stuck in. That's Klopp's football. That's what we got him in for, basically. So, you know, you'd think by now people would get used to it, but seemingly not.
It's going to be an adventure, I think. I'm excited about it, John. I'm excited about the European. I like the group. Yeah. You know, it's got a bit of everything, both on and off the pitch. Moscow maybe a little bit of a blow from an off the pitch sense, but you know, we should be looking to get 4 points from it. Maribor, Seville, but also just in general, only one team can win the Champions League. So you'd almost want to, you know, almost talk about that when you get to the last eight, if you get to the last eight, yeah. And instead have the idea of play our football, get stuck in, enjoy the nights home and away.
Yeah, and we will, and you could tell the difference between that and Saturday with it being a European game, and it's just, you know, the night game, it's just kind of more enjoyable, really, and people are more up for it, and people want to prove that.
Loud,
you know,
it was loud.
Yeah, it was loud, yeah. And that's really good, and you know, great atmosphere. So I think people are going to enjoy it, and you're right, you know, it's almost like irrelevant talking about, oh, can we win the Champions League yet? Because there's just so many good teams and there's so much football yet to play. As you say, well, worry about it if we're still in it in March. For now, it's as you say, it's an exciting group. It's teams that we haven't played much of. You know, we played the final against Seville, but generally speaking, it's the only one I can think of. And Spartak Moscow, you're going back to Souness era, aren't you?
Before 92, they beat us at home. I was at it.
And obviously our other friends, we've not played at all from Slovenia, and so, you know, it's fresh teams. Whereas if we would have got the Dortmund Real Madrid group, I think it would have been a bit of blow, not just because they're both really good, but because, you know, we feel like you've been in battles with them before, and the Real Madrid obviously brings up the bad memories of the Rodgers one in terms of there were annoying games home and away for different reasons. And so I think these are just exciting, and these are just, oh great, and they'll have to come to Anfield and they probably won't fancy it.
And you want your revenge on Spartak Moscow there from the tone of your voice, Gareth. You've owed them one since 92.
I have, mate, because I mentioned it on one of the Anfield app shows earlier that, you know, I was actually, you know when the camera zooms in on someone in the crowd showing them being gutted? Yeah. Me.
Really?
92.
A young Robbo?
Yeah. I went to college, and they were all going, you were on telly last night, and like all the Blues were giving me stick and stuff, and it was like, so yeah, I need to turn that round. I need to sort that myself, basically, don't I, against Spartak?
I think we have to also have a word with our friends at BT and see if they can do it. They can do a zoom in on you made up.
Yeah,
as we make it 3-0.
Yeah,
like the Trent Alexander Arnold. Look at him now.
And a glutted Russian child next to you shipped in.
Yeah, can't believe that lad was abusing that young Russian. Seemed unnecessary. No, it is. It is getting stuck in. And also, it's good off the pitch, Adam, as well. You know, they are interesting places, and that is again meant to be part of the whole thing. I think we all get wrapped up in the who's got a good group, who hasn't. Oh, look at United's group, and yada yada yada. For me, you know, and I think for a lot of people, you want. There's a lot of people who go away a lot with Liverpool, and getting to go to new places is literally a nice thing.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I mean, I booked Seville last night, and I'm still sort of umming and ahhing over Maribor.
You're on Arseville?
Yeah, yeah, oh, I'm on the Gibbons Town Express. Mick Clark travels.
Yeah,
he told me the route. So and then I booked it,
we've got accommodation in Maribor.
Yeah,
to quote Ben Johnson, a kennel.
It's got 5 out of 10 reviews across the board. Yeah. So it's a good group, I think. And just like Wednesday night didn't feel like a qualifier. It felt like something more. I think that group's got enough to carry you through with a bit of momentum, which is important. I think if it's a really tepid group, you know, where there's sometimes the groups can sap you momentum a bit, and I don't think this one will. I think
we just need to get to one as well. The last two times we qualified for the Champions League,
we
failed at the group stage. So, you know, we can all say, oh, this would have been nicer, that's a dream trip. I'm just quite happy that looking at it now on paper, it looks winnable, it looks like we can get through. And, you know, then you're starting to talk about Liverpool in the later stages.
The knockouts last 16, stages, get them back to Anfield, etc.
That's what we need to get through. And I think, hopefully, the Maribor manager will say something that will get you wound up, Robbo. And so we've got...
Won't take much, mate.
Hopefully... Slag off ride.
Hopefully he's 23. And won't wear socks. This is the Anfield Rap on Radio City Talk. More after the break, we're going to talk about transfers. You just love all that. We've also got John Gibbons, Gareth Roberts, Adam Amelia back soon. It is indeed the Anfield Rap, Neil Atkinson, John Gibbons, Gareth Roberts and Adam Amelia with you until 7:30, whatever you're up to tonight. And one of the things that's come through today, broken today, John, is the news that the chap Dembele has gone from Dortmund. There's a lot of Dembele's. He's gone from Dortmund to go to Barcelona for a lot of money.
They've made some money on him in a year, haven't they?
Ah, what a turnaround that is. Linked with Liverpool quite strongly last summer. Klopp spoke to him, supposedly. Ended up going to Dortmund. It's hung on 1 year and now he finds himself at Barcelona. I mean, I don't think you can read too much into that either way on the Coutinho thing, and that it looks to me like Liverpool, John, look like they're not going to sell under any circumstances. But then the flip side of that is buying some footballers of our own. Now that the fixture list is more settled, you can see a League Cup game in there. You can see the way in which the Champions League game skew the schedule right the way through until Christmas. It does look like an intimidating fixture list, I'd say.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and I think I'm not looking too much into the Dembele thing to kind of start on where you started, because I think they obviously, you know, they've still got money to buy another one, and I'm sure they'd do it. And I think politically and in terms of what that squad looks like it needs, I'm sure they'd still get him. So I don't think it's not a case. I've seen a few Liverpool fans going, "Oh yeah, it's great for us that he's done that." I don't think it necessarily is. But as you say, why does it change Liverpool's position? I would expect that if we get to the end of the transfer window for Coutinho to be very quickly made available for Liverpool. I think there's this international break that I think is going to work out quite well for everyone. Just give everyone a bit of chance to cool down, calm down. He might go away and then play for Brazil, and then he's not in a great position to not come back and play for us. And as you also said rightly, that the games are thick and fast there, and we'll need a squad, and so having someone of Coutinho's class to be able to bring back in would be great, but also probably one more as well, which is where you start looking at, you know, can we get this Chamberlain one over the line? If not, is there someone else who we can get? Who's someone who's good attacking player, who's versatile, and as well as the kind of centre half thing that looks like it still needs sorting out as well.
I'm braced though. You know, if it's an international break, that's when they always do an interview with someone from Brazil, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's too late then though, so we can't force anything. So we might have to. I mean, you might moan and stuff, but well, I mean, that's the interesting thing on the Dembele one though. I've been thinking about it, and this is a slight tangent, but. We're often competing with players with Dortmund, and as you say, Dembele was one of them. And you know, I mean, is it going to be harder in the future if Dortmund to be able to say, you know, well, look what we do, you know, we sell you to Barcelona. Does that kind of become a factor? Are they a more attractive stepping stone based on, you know, this summer than we were for? I mean, that's not to say we sell for Coutinho because we want to more likely buy the next one, but, you know, it is a factor, maybe.
Maybe a factor. I just think we're in for a mad week, Gareth, in terms of our own players, in terms of ins, possibly still in terms of outs, not just with Coutinho, but with other footballers as well who are still at the club. I mean, everyone's completely forgotten about Lazar Markovic. I can't imagine what his days are like. But, you know, across the board here, I'm quite... Everyone we talk to when we do other shows on the Anfield, after Friday show, the coach show, with one or two exceptions, everybody says we need four. Everybody's knocking around saying we need four. West Brom have bought the lad Oliver Burke today. They've thrown some money on him, even though he's only scored one goal in an elite league. They've thrown 50 million quid on him. I'm just looking at it thinking I can see it being absolute havoc from after this weekend's games in terms of the general transfer picture. Mm. And Liverpool will be part of that. There's every chance Liverpool bring two or three in, possibly. There's every chance they bring none in, but there's every chance that they've got two or three leaving as well. I think it's going to be a pretty hot week.
Yeah, I think this is one where you need to, you know, sort of take your head out the Liverpool bubble for a moment as well and have a little peek around, because Arsenal fans, they're wondering why they haven't bought more players. Tottenham fans, they're wondering why they haven't bought more players. Chelsea's manager has had a moan. So it's, you know, this current standoff, if that's the right word, that Liverpool find themselves in over the targets that they want and not being able to get them, isn't exclusive to Liverpool. And that's not me making excuses before the tin hatters get onto me again about, you know, loving FSG or whatever. I'm not bothered about FSG. I want Liverpool to win things. And I think one of the ways they win things is buy more quality and have more strength and depth in the squad. But, you know, Klopp said today that if it does close and we've signed no one, that it isn't anyone's fault. And now you can say that, you know, he's a fella doing a bit of PR spin and trying to make everyone feel happy. And certainly, you know, I thought his comments again today about Milner being like a transfer, he's really not doing himself any favour with that.
Yeah, he's moved a man in midfield. You can't claim it's a transfer when you move him back.
You just can't. And even Moreno as well. Look, you know, he's done okay, and there hasn't been any sort of real clangers yet. But again, you know, when that's a lad who started two Premier League games last season and eight in total.
He clearly didn't fancy him.
He didn't fancy him. He didn't want him. He nearly went. And so to sort of picture as, you know, oh, he's back now, is tough to swallow. And I totally understand why people are frustrated.
Well, I'm frustrated. Frustrated of Waverty. I'm probably one of those FSG tin hat lunatics, actually.
Well, don't start blaming me.
I'm not going to start blaming you. I'm here to provide balance, Gareth. So just, I think we're staring down the window of a failure in the transfer window, I think. I think that, and I would say another failure as well. And I think that there is still the will to do some business, and the business needs to be done. My worry, I think, is that can the club act fast enough when things start to get hectic? Because they are not a fast-acting group of businessmen, I don't think. Well, business possibly, but not on the football side of things.
Get the babble copter out, mate.
Well, yeah.
No, I think this is a really valid and interesting point, that if suddenly, for instance, let's say Madrid have a little look, feel they've got to balance the books and there's player X available.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I would include FSG in this, and I think that's a valid criticism. But I'd also say the manager's very much one for, he has his plans. He has his plans, he has his ways. And this is where my worry at times is that I think on the pitch, obviously having the manager that we've got is fantastic. You can see so many positives to him. My worry in the FSG Klopp thing is you get the impression neither of them's giving the other one a kick, if you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean, but I think that the one area where we have got an excellent person is the office of the manager. And I think that is showing up the weaknesses in the structure that surrounds him. And I know what you mean. It would be nice to start looking at plan Bs. I think that he has maybe been expecting to be able to get the people that he wants. And we don't, I still think that there's part of it is just talking up the players that are plan A, because we still think we're going to get the plan A, certainly in terms of Van Dijk. But I think if the structure's not right, then the structure needs to change. I don't want the manager to be compromising too much. He lives and dies by his transfers.
He lives and dies by what he gets on the pitch, John, and who he gets on the pitch and how that happens, and then what happens to them, because he's going to look, if legs are beginning to fall off come mid-December, given the football that he plays, he's going to look yet again like it's to do with the football that he plays and not to do with the strength and depth. And being able to respond this week, I think, is going to be important for Liverpool. I suspect I suspect every club thinks they've got a shape of what's likely to happen, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to all pan out that way.
No, it doesn't, and that's why, you know, most teams end up with plan Bs or plan Cs and things, and that's why it's slightly curious that Liverpool don't seem to. Look, they might do something from left field and they might surprise us all, and then you end up looking a bit silly. But I kind of feel for people who want to criticise like Adam, because I feel like there's not, I don't really know when you're allowed to. Like people say, "Oh, exactly. Wait till the end
too
of the window.
Early, win- too late.
Wait till the end of the window," and then the window's like, "Well, this, we've got to just get behind them now. The season started.
Exactly.
Wait, you know, wait till next window."
Because the big talk starts in March or November.
Yeah.
You know, the club do make big noises about what they're going to do.
Yeah,
and that's why you end up wound up, and you know why I end up wound up.
I'm a bit wound up.
But also this plan A thing, like there's more to it than just a plan A and plan B. There's depth of the squad as well. He keeps talking about, you know, needing to recruit better quality than what we've got. But that's not the whole... There's another argument where you just say, you just need more bodies, mate. Because he's literally said, we'll be sound if we get no injuries. Well, that's not realistic. That's not a plan.
Yeah,
we'll get injuries. We will get it, exactly.
We've got more games than last season.
We've got more games.
And we had injuries last season.
He absolutely works them in terms of sessions and in terms of what he has them doing on the pitch. It's all on the edge. He will pick up injuries, and then you're going to be calling on what? Ben Woodburn.
Mm.
You know, promising lad, but not someone you want to be throwing in, you know, Spartak Moscow away or something.
And look, well, and look at how many games Lucas got. This is the one that I keep coming back to.
We haven't
even replaced Lucas.
Yep.
And, you know, it's fine. It's fine that he's gone, and the best of luck to him. But he played a lot of games last year, and never mind the upgrades in the other areas that we want. We haven't even replaced him, really. We had Gomez coming on v Watford. That would have been Lucas, last season. We had Lovren coming on at the end at Palace. That would have been Lucas last season, in my opinion. Both of them look like dodgy subs to me. And we're just missing, as you say, bodies.
I think, it's back to the not wanting what ifs. And I think Liverpool have got a... You don't want to get to the end of this window going, well, and to suddenly find yourself in November, having watched us play some fantastic stuff, you can see the football that we can play and end up sort of going, well, what if we'd have done this? What if we'd have done that?
Sure, 09 points, isn't it?
Yeah, you should never have what ifs, and you should always have. I mean, you know, that's, I think, I almost think you're, I understand why managers don't want massive squads. I understand that they've got a working thing going on that we can't even begin to comprehend, dealing with these individuals, these very driven young men and all of that sort of stuff, and that it can make the situation slightly difficult. But I'd almost rather feel like I've got one too many than one too few. And I still think you can make a strong argument beyond Van Dijk of Liverpool buying one in every department that across the pitch in terms of defence, midfield and attack. And I think it just what it'd do is it'd mean that there weren't what ifs, and that's what I don't want, because you could make them last season, and in the end, I don't think you could. The other factors were in play. Chelsea went and got 93 points, but if this league goes at 84 points this season, and you're looking at it, and Liverpool had two or three dodgy results after European games because they weren't able to rotate, if they had three injuries, you'd be saying, well, that's just a bit wild, that's just a bit mad, and you should. I just think that's what concerns me. Is, you know, if Man City go and get 100 points, then we're not saying what if. But if Man City get 83 points...
Yeah, I had exactly the same thought, Neil, and I think watching them against Everton the other day made me think this might be one of the ones which is there for the taking.
Yeah,
this might be one of these leagues where everybody takes points off each other and it's there.
Exactly. And then what you can't do is feel as though... And also the quality is there. It's about protecting the quality now as well. Mm. And that's where, you know, he might only want improvements, and I can understand why a manager would think like that, but... You can only want improvements, but at times you've got to protect the quality players that you've got and find ways to keep them as close to tip top as possible. Moving forward and looking to the weekend, Liverpool 5, Arsenal 1. It says here that's not a prediction. That's to talk about that game, John. And it's come up in a few different conversations I've seen online this week, and also it's something that has still scarred Arsenal. Wenger's talked about it a couple of times in the past, and not least there's still a fair few of those players who are still playing for
especially
Arsenal,
especially in defence,
who come up against us this weekend. And that first 20 minutes, and I think it's all about that first 20 minutes when Liverpool go 4-0 up. I think they hit the woodwork twice, they have one cleared off the line, Kolo Touré misses from yards, and Sturridge misses a one-on-one. That Liverpool created nine unbelievable chances slash goals in 20 minutes, I think still will impact how Arsenal approach this game.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, Gareth was talking before about teams going toe-to-toe with us. I don't see Arsenal doing that, as you say, because of what happened, that sort of lunchtime and the football that we saw. And I think, you know, you talk about Liverpool conceding less goals, and one of the ways that they will do it this season is the teams are too scared to attack. And we saw a little bit of that from Palace. I thought Palace had shown more, you know, but they were looking. I mean, they get a great chance, though. They could argue with 0-0, the Benteke one. But generally speaking, they looked kind of... I think there'll be teams who come who look a bit fearful to attack, and Arsenal will probably be one of the better ones. And as you say, it's because of what we saw there. So how did Liverpool approach it then, knowing reasonably that Arsenal are going to do that? Do you look to throw throw everything at them? Do you look to go hell for leather at the start? Do you look, or your patience, or you think, well, you know, we'll move it around. We'll look to tighten them. We'll look for their weaknesses and then exploit.
What do we do? I still, as I say, that 5-1's got some resonance, and we'll be thinking about it. And that before the kickoff, Gareth, there'll be lots of people talking about it. But they're playing 3 at the back as well at the minute. Klopp's record as Liverpool manager against 3 at the back is either played 8-1-7 or played 9-1-8 and drawn the other one. Beat them in March, and got behind them a fair bit. A game between the top six, home or away, shouldn't feel like a should win for Liverpool. But this one sort of does. And that's got me a little bit uneasy, if I'm honest with you.
I think, and they're quite long odds as well, Arsenal. And again, that's like a bit of a surprise, really, because, you know, like you've just said, the perennially a good side. And, you know, they're coming to Liverpool and you expect them, you know, to give you a tough game. But yeah, most people seem to be talking as it's a bit of a, you know, a bit of a given that we beat them. Maybe that's a little bit dangerous, but I think the other reason for that is that, you know, the continual Wenger thing, and that, you know, the way they've started this season as well. You know, quite fortunate to beat Leicester, get beat by Stoke, and then, you know, of course, all the people who didn't want Arsenal to keep Wenger will emerge from their holes again and start having a go at him. And that's not a, we've been there where it's toxic among your fan base, and it's not a good place to be. You know, we haven't gone to Rodgers too long. And the start of that season where he was the manager, it wasn't enjoyable to go the match. The minute anything went wrong, everyone's on the case of the team and the manager. People are arguing in the stands. And that makes a difference. And it feels to me that's probably what it's like at Arsenal. So, you know, Liverpool get one up early. Their fans are probably turning on each other. There's probably booing towards Wenger. He'll know as well. You know, he's looked a few times to me like a bit of a broken man. And I was quite surprised that he didn't gibber. You know, and here he is still here again for another go, glutton for punishment almost. And maybe, you know, he could have gone out and said, well, I won a trophy there. And look what I've done with my career. But he's back again, and you wonder if that's a bit of a mistake, maybe.
It's that they're going to come. I wonder for them, you know, if they can get to a 0-0 on 60 or 1-1 on 60, Adam, if it becomes almost a little bit of a free hit. And that's, again, really strange, given the fact that they're likely to play Alexis Sanchez. They've just spent 70 million on Lacazette. He's going to be playing up front for them. Mm. They've got these quality of players all the way through. And yet somehow, because of previous results, because of previous history, because of the Wenger thing, because of Arsenal's record on the road, it has become this that it would be a free hit for them, whereas they should be thinking, well, we only finished 1 point behind you last year. And yet that 1 point feels enormous.
Funny team, really, and they've bought well. I think Lacazette's a really good player, and I think they always look quite dangerous. But at the same time, they play so high that you're in behind them all the time. And so I'd be amazed if it's 1-1 or 0-0 on 60 nil. To be honest, they do have the firepower to hurt us. They've got the players to feed those good strikers. I wonder whether Sanchez will play. I'm surprised by everybody saying that he will. Is he definitely playing?
It's meant to be quite likely.
Really? Right. Okay. Well, I mean, he's a fantastic player. I think we generally look like, except for that 1-5-1 that we were talking about before, we always look like we should beat them by more, to me. But at the same time, that, you know, the 3-3 and the 2-2, they weren't big surprises when they happened, because they have got that. They are dangerous. So I think it'll be another game like that. And I hope we can score as many goals as we will get chances, because we will get chances.
It's one more big push if you're the manager. This run of 3 league games for most sides and 5 games for Liverpool and being first, 7 games for Everton up to this first international break, John, it becomes just get the points on the board at this stage. Liverpool have now put the performance in against Hoffenheim. They've got the European qualification. It's just one more big push, isn't it? I mean, that's what you're thinking if you're the manager.
Yeah, no, definitely, because if we win, then 7 points is a good return from those first 3 games.
And the European qualification.
And the European qualification, yeah. You'd think, you know, that chunk of Liverpool games, that's been a success, especially considering that all of our rivals bar Manchester United have dropped points. And so you're looking at it going in, no matter what happens, no matter what everyone else does, you're thinking, well, look, that was a good start. We've had a couple of extra games than most other people, and we've done well. But that means he needs to get the win. And so I think he'd be looking at it from I think he's a manager who often will look a game ahead, but I think on this one, it's just all about the weekend.
It is all about the weekend, Gareth, and it is all about, you know, they're all going to go away. The international break will then be the other side of the transfer window, the other side of the Coutinho stuff. It almost feels like prologue, like the season's not properly started. It's all now to come. But you've got to win this one. You've got to win this one to leave everybody going off absolutely bouncing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you want that final push, as you say, and the final hit. And, you know, I think everyone's confident. Another reason why everyone's confident, I don't think it's just because it's Arsenal and the things we just discussed. I think it's as well that, you know, look at last season, Liverpool's record against the so-called big sides was good. It suits Klopp, it suits Liverpool, it suits us as well. I think, you know, the way we are at the ground and the way we are about our club, when another club comes to town like Arsenal, saying they're a big club, we like to take them down. I think we bring our A game as well as fans. And so I think, because of the way the match went midweek, I think you can sort of get through on fumes almost. You know, there's not loads of changes you can make to the side, like we said earlier. You know, the squad's not that deep, but I think we'll be all right.
Quickly on the side, Adam, do you see him going with something that's unchanged from Wednesday? Do you see him going from something similar to last weekend? There was no Milner on Wednesday night. He played Moreno at left back. Robertson had done well against Crystal Palace. Joe Gomez had been okay and got himself back on. What do you think he's going to do? I expect the front three to be the same at the very least.
Yeah, I think the front three will be the same. And it was interesting that Henderson played the entire game the other day, because I think he'll start. So it's really just it's a question of sort of fullbacks and central defenders, really, isn't it? And you know, they're picking your other centre mids. I think it'll be probably Chan Henderson, Wijnaldum, and I'm probably Matip Lovren. I'd like to see Robertson play again, but it wouldn't be. I would be surprised, I think, if it was Moreno. So I think I'd be going Robertson and maybe Trent.
I mean, he'll know more about Robertson than us. He'll have had a look at him. I think he picks him in that Palace game because he knows he's not going to have a huge amount of defending to do it. He could just go forward and put his lovely crosses in. In this game, he might feel like Moreno is better than the devil, you know, in terms of what he might have to do going the other way. I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. I think it's a little bit of a toss up there. But if he's liking the look of Robinson in training and liking seeing what he's doing and wants to give him another go, then he could do. And I hope Trent's fit, because, you know, he went off with a little bit of a knock on Wednesday. Had a bit of a tough night, but I think that was a lot to do, as I say, with the way they played. So I'm hoping that the
Klopp said it was only a dead leg. So.
Yeah, dead leg sound, didn't it? Run it off.
Unless it's Sturridge. Sturridge dead legs last longer.
Gareth, prediction.
Prediction for the score?
Yeah.
3-1 to Liverpool again.
3-1 Liverpool. Okay, Adam.
4-2.
Liverpool?
Yeah.
4-2 Liverpool, John Gibbons.
3-2 Liverpool, but the Arsenal second fairly late. Just while we're all thinking we can enjoy it. They get one on 88 and we're like, oh no.
A corner on 94, imagine it. Will he send the keeper up? I hope they don't. All right, it's been fantastic. Thanks to Dave Downey for staying late so we can enjoy ourselves late night across Liverpool, having a ball. Thank you very much indeed, John Gibbons, Gareth Roberts and Adam Melia. We didn't need Alanis Morissette. A profound shame. You always need a little bit of Alanis. We'll be back. Liverpool up against Arsenal at the weekend. They should be doing the business. It's what we expect. 7 points, Reds. Just get to 7 points. Champions League qualification. No one could have asked any more. Sports Social Podcast Network.